Ready to rise above loud, angry headlines? Longing for an alternative to the world's fighting and fear-mongering? Christianity Today magazine offers a trustworthy, faithful perspective on stories that matter to you, from the church next door to movements and ministries all around the world. Subscribe to CT for full access to in-depth reporting, insightful commentary, and redemptive storytelling, both online and in print. A subscription to CT also includes seasonal devotionals, special issues, and exclusive content. Visit orderct.com today or click the link in the show notes to get started and join a growing community of thoughtful, evangelical Christians who value different news that makes a difference. That's orderct.com to subscribe today.
This episode is brought to you in part by Litvin School of Mission, Ministry, and Leadership at Wheaton College. Our graduate programs in evangelism, ministry, and leadership enrich your mind, spirit, vocation, and character to refine what's already within you. Learn more at wheaton.edu/CT.
Hello, this is Russell Moore, and you're listening to Signposts. Earlier this year, I did a post about things that I'd learned in 20 years of ministry because I realized, looking through some things, that it had been 20 years since my ordination. And that, I went back and I looked at my ordination certificate, and I was looking at all of the names of the people who had signed that certificate, many of them with the Lord now. And it prompted me to think about ordination vows, which is something that in my tradition, in the Free Church Baptistic tradition, you don't hear very much about ordination vows. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that I've ever heard anything about ordination vows, but it's something we should reclaim. And here's why I say that. Because at my ordination, what we had was a fairly low-key time of questioning. The men of the church, the ordained men of the church, came together to question me on my theology and on my personal walk with Christ and so forth. They all knew me, and they knew me very well. Some of them in the room had known me since I was born. Others had been serving with me in ministry for a couple years, and so they knew me well. It wasn't so much about the particular questions and what my answers to them would be. It was that there was one elderly man in the congregation, a deacon, who in that ordination council, he said to me, "Are you ever going to have lunch with a woman who's not your wife?" And I said, "I guess not." And he said, "Son, always do whatever you can not to end up in moral failure or in doctrinal failure." And he said, "Don't ever go into the pulpit with any book but this one," held up his Bible, "and don't ever go into the bedroom with any woman other than her," speaking of my wife. And those words really stuck with me, and my vow that I made to him, which really wasn't anything that I had thought through, it wasn't anything that I necessarily give to anyone else to say this is something, but for me, I was then able to say, when I was in all sorts of situations in ministry where I might have been in a compromising situation if I hadn't watched out, was able to say, "I can't do that. I made an ordination vow." The same thing was true when someone asked me about issues of who I would marry, perform their weddings, and I gave that answer. And I was able then to say to couples who would come and say, "Why won't you marry us?" Well, it's not a personal thing. It's that I'm not going to violate what I vowed at my ordination. I found that most people can understand that. And so instead of the sorts of ordination councils that we have had in many places in recent years, which is really just a pro forma, do you believe the Bible, do you believe our confessional statement, and so forth, I really think that formalizing a system of vows would be a good thing. We understand the power of vows when it comes to marriage, and setting someone apart for ministry would be a good time to ask people the sorts of questions that would put them on record and also liberate that future minister of the gospel to be able to serve within the context of the believing community. And that's really what ordination is. Ordination is about the church through representatives of that church laying hands on, setting apart someone to preach God's word and to lead Christ's church, and giving every tool that we can to do that well is, I think, only to the benefit of the church. We think about the way that the Apostle Paul would say to Timothy, remember the laying on of hands, remember the confession of Jesus as Lord in that laying on of hands. We should really make ordination the moment in which we really not only help this particular young minister, but we also signal to the rest of the church just how significant and just how important for the whole body of Christ every setting apart for ministry is. This is all of our business. And I think that that's significant and important, because one of the things that Mr. Racy, the elderly deacon, meant when he asked me that question was to say to me that my reputation as a preacher of God's word, as someone following the Lordship of Christ, had a direct effect not only on the church ordaining me, Bay Vista Baptist Church in Biloxi, Mississippi, but throughout time, the larger body of Christ. How many times have we seen such damage done to the body of Christ by a pastor who loses his biblical moorings, by a pastor who loses his moral moorings? That has an influence that is far greater than just the particular church or ministry that he serves. It often breeds a kind of cynicism where people immediately think, when they hear someone preaching the word, can I trust you? Because I already trusted so-and-so, and I was hurt by that. And so having a sense of moment at the setting apart and the ordination of a new minister or pastor can signal to the church, this is not just a professional degree. This is not a group of people who are certifying someone the way that we would if he were taking the bar exam or getting a teacher's license. This is your hand as the Church of Jesus Christ upon someone who will carry the ministry of this church into the future. And it's a sober, sober realization. I mean, when I look at the names signed on that ordination certificate, I realize my ministry is their ministry. They are the ones who launched me into the future, and they understood that they bore a kind of a certain accountability, and they also bore responsibility to make sure that they were not unleashing on the church someone who was going to destroy. Now, you can't always be right, and ordination councils are going to get this wrong, and churches are going to get this wrong. And we have pastors who have fallen away from the faith, and we have pastors who have fallen morally and in terms of integrity, and we've had pastors who aren't equipped to the task of ministry all the way back to the first century. The Apostle Paul talks about some of that in Philippians chapter 1. In the same way that we have baptized Christians who have fallen away, that's no excuse for taking seriously the task of baptism. And it's no excuse for not taking seriously the task of ordination. So having a time where the candidate for ordination not only explains and answers questions to a council, but makes verbal vows and commitments of fidelity to the faith, of guarding and watching his family, of guarding and watching his moral integrity and his accountability, is something that could benefit I think the entire body of Christ. I'm glad that I had a wise person in the room who was able to throw some questions to me that I answered at that moment that would have been a different sort of commitment than if he had just asked me out in the hallway someday. And I wish that I had had an entire list of things that I would affirm or deny that I could point back to. And I think the same would be true for our future ministers within the church. This is Russell Moore, and you're listening to Signposts.